2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is going to be on prayer and the Great Commission. How to pray effectively, not just for missionaries, but how to pray effectively in with this matter of world missions. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." So he's talking about you Corinthians, you're helping us by prayer. And that was big because the Apostle Paul was a church planter. God was using him in a great way. We know that. But he needed prayer. He needed the prayer support of the churches that he had started and the Christians now that he's writing back to. He needed that prayer support. I've got in, written out beside that Exodus 17, and that's the story of when Moses was praying on the mount there and Joshua was fighting and you know, Aaron and Hur held up his hands. And, you know, when his hands went down, then you know, Israelites did bad, and when the hands were up, they were winning. And he needed them to hold up their hands. And these missionaries, when they go to the field, and they need us to hold their hands up. And so this is kind of what this is about. Number one, pray scripturally. 1 John chapter 5. We need to pray scripturally. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." So when we pray, God says right here, when you pray, will you have confidence if you're praying in His will? And the confidence you have is, anything you ask, if you're praying in His will, He hears it. Now, that's great for us right there, because that lets us know that the main thing about prayer is getting in God's will, making sure you're praying in God's will. Somebody said the prayer that gets to heaven starts in heaven. And, you know, we need to pray God's will, but God's given us some specific things to pray for in His Word concerning this matter of world evangelism. And here's some definite commands He gives. Number one, pray for workers in the harvest. Matthew chapter 9. Hope you got your Bibles this morning. I know you do, so you're going back and forth different places. Matthew chapter 9. We need to pray for workers in the harvest. Verse 36. "But when He, Jesus, saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd." I don't know about you, but when I see multitudes of people, I'm moved in my heart for them. A lot of people just see crowds, they just see people, they see, you know, I wish I wasn't in this crowd of people, but my whole life when I see pictures of California, I see four lanes of traffic going both directions, and now I'm living there, and I'm like, oh, man, you know. It's not as bad in Northern California as it is in Southern California, but still, there's a lot of people. One out of every eight Americans live in California. That's a lot of people. And I live close. My commute is less than 3 minutes and to the church. But when I go over one of the highways and I see all these people, it moves my heart that these people are going somewhere, and most of them are probably going to hell. It's just the truth of the matter in our country nowadays. But Jesus was moved with compassion when He saw the multitudes. By the way, you want to be a soul winner? You want to get compassion? You got to get out there. You'll never be moved with compassion watching television on soul winning night or whatever day you go out. You know, I guarantee you, when you go out there, like the other day, I was out there and I was knocking on doors and I was witnessing to this guy. There was a prostitution deal going on right here. I was witnessing to this transvestite guy right here, and you know, all this stuff's going on around me. And I'm just sharing the gospel with them like you do. But I'm thinking, this is why we're out here. And that burdens my heart. You won't see that stuff when you stay home. You got to get out there, and then you'll move with compassion. Jesus, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. And then He said, "Then saith He unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." You know, if Jesus was here on a Wednesday night and you were taking prayer requests, this would be His prayer request. What's your prayer request? Jesus, you got a prayer request? Yes, pray for laborers. That prayer is still relevant today. We need to pray for laborers. So that's a scriptural prayer. Be specific. Pray for laborers. Pray for laborers for specific countries. I know Ben's going to Southern Sudan. Not a lot of missionaries in Southern Sudan. One reason why we raised support pretty fast was we'd call a church and I'd say, "Hi, I'm Dennis Blankenship. We're going to the country of Sudan." And they're like, "Oh, we don't have any missionaries there." And I said, "I know you don't. There's none there." You know, but a lot of people's churches support geographically and they say, "Well, we don't have anybody there. Let's get some light there." And that's okay. But anyway, countries like that, they need missionaries. Really, you could spin the globe and close your finger, and wherever your finger lands, there's a need there. But there are places that God may put on your heart to pray for God to send somebody there. You know, we've got a very multi-ethnic church in our it's like our city, and so we've got Ukrainians, and there's a church, a strict Baptist church, Russian Baptist church that runs 5,000. In our city. There's like 60,000 Ukrainians and Russians in our city and Filipinos and Chinese, all the different, but they often pray for laborers for their countries. Well, God may put a country on your heart to pray for somebody to go there. Be specific. Pray specific. Just don't say, "Lord, send out laborers." Yes, we need laborers. But you know, I'm praying for Sunday school teachers in our church. I'm praying for you know, people to ride the van routes and things like, you know what I mean? We got to pray specifically. Pray on behalf of the workers already in the harvest, like Ben and Lindsay and David and Delight. Pray for them. Pray for those that will be saved under their ministry to be called. You know, one thing that really impressed me about the Sudanese when we were there was that they immediately got a burden to reach other people. I remember I was teaching the Bible Institute through the book of Acts and teaching on missions. And one of them raised their hand and said, "How did they move around? How did they get to..." Reading about that Paul was here and then he was here. And I said, "By footing," because in Africa, "by footing" means by footing. It means they walked. And I said, "Well, you know, he took a ship. We know he took a ship. But most of it was probably walking." And it was one of those moments that the pastor always dreams about, or a teacher. You know, they look around at each other and they like, they got it. They're like, "We can do this." And they started talking among themselves how they could reach their country by footing. They didn't need a plane. They didn't need a vehicle. They didn't even need a bicycle, for that matter. They could do it. So pray that you know, when you see these names, when Ben and David, they send back names. You know, pray for Jose. Pray for Masigua and all these names that some that you can't even pronounce. Just hold them up to God and say, "God, call these people to reach their own people." You know, because Ben and Lindsay may not always be in South Sudan. I know they're going for life, but they may not always be there. You know, something could happen. The deals may have to come home. The thing is, but the people that we reach, they stay. And that's the key to reaching countries, is the nationals reaching their own countries. And so pray that God will call out people from the works that are going forth there. That's just a new aspect. And then pray on your next thing there is pray for open doors. Colossians chapter 4. Pray for open doors. These are scriptural prayers that God's given us to pray for. Pray for open doors. Colossians 4, verse 2. And 3, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. He says, pray for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. You know, an abundance of workers would be of little value if no doors were open for them. There's going to be places that a missionary will talk about. Pray that we got an open door in this. Hey, right here in this area, when you go to reach people, we need to be praying for open doors. We need knocking on doors. We need to be praying that God would open the doors. So prayer for open doors. That's a scriptural prayer. I don't think the problem today is the lack of open doors. I think the problem today is the lack of workers for those open doors. There's no closed countries in God's economy. There are some restricted countries, some hard countries to get in, but they're not closed. We can get in. There's just different ways we've got to get in. We'll pray that those doors will open up. Where Ben's going, he's in one state. There's 10 states in southern Sudan. Pray for open doors in those other states. There's men there that are waiting for somebody to come and help them. Just pray for God would open the doors in these countries. And then pray, letter C there, pray for fruit to remain in the harvest. Pray for fruit to remain in the harvest. I don't know how this looked when you got it. It didn't look very good when I sent it to Joy, but I thought she could probably do something with it. I scanned it, and I think when I sent it, it was kind of like this, maybe, in, you know, but I don't know if it's 1, 2, 3, or ABC, but the third one there under the first point is to pray for fruit to remain in the harvest. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Okay, he says, pray that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. So when God's word is glorified, John 15:16 says that fruit that remains glorifies God. So when God's word is glorified, that means that it's received by people, they're saved, which brings glory to God. So pray that for fruit that will remain. And it's fruit that remains that glorifies the Lord. When you hear about somebody getting saved on the mission field, pray that that person becomes a true disciple of Jesus Christ. We all know we've led people in the sinner's prayer and they didn't walk on. We don't know. You know, we're not the judge of were they real. We don't know. But the truth is, we want fruit that remains. We want fruit people that will keep on walking for the Lord, that will continue in the Lord. So pray for that. Pray for a stronger base of support for the harvest. A stronger base of support for the harvest. Psalm 2:8. This is a wonderful missions verse. It's really a prophetic verse about the kingdom age, but it's been used greatly, and I think it's not a misuse to use it for missions, because it's the Son. It's God telling the Son how to pray, and He says, Psalm 2:8, ask of me, God the Father saying to the Son, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the othermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The promise given, made by God to His Son, that He would give Him the uttermost parts, we can claim we're joint heirs with Christ. So pray for that to happen. And we claim the uttermost parts of the earth. However, there's a big price to be paid to get people to the uttermost parts. And because of that big price that's needed to be paid, pray for a stronger base of support for our missionaries. As we send them out, we don't want to send them to the field unsupported. Pray that their support remains where it should be, or even more. You know, when we went to the field, we had a goal, and we had met that goal, and we went, and praise God, God added some support when we were there. Well, somebody was praying for that. We needed it. I didn't have a bank account. I mean, you know, we used that money. God knew we needed that money. Why? Because the gospel's free. Amen? The gospel is free, but it costs a lot of money to get it there. It does. I've seen Ben eat, okay? and it costs a lot to sustain missionaries. It costs a lot to get them there. You know, I mean, tickets and visas, and there's always cost. And, you know, people say, you need that much money to operate in Africa? Oh, it costs money to operate. It just does. So God's got money. We know that. We just need to pray for a strong base of support. Pray that as these missionaries are on the field, they've got their support, and that it will sustain, and pray for that for your missionaries when you see them. Lord, help their support to stay up. Countless missionaries have to come home all the time because their support drops. A pastor maybe changes in churches, and that pastor takes on different missionaries, and things happen in churches in America. Pray for a stronger base of support, because the responsibility for sustaining these missionaries rests on the Lord's churches. It's the Lord's churches that are called to get the gospel to this world. And, you know, we had individuals every now and then would send special offerings. Praise the Lord for that. But we want churches to support us. An individual dies, and that support goes with them. But when a church supports the missionary, then it's sustained, and it can be sustained. So pray for that. Pray scripturally. Number two, Pray intelligently. Back in Colossians chapter 4. Pray intelligently. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 again. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. The word watch means, implies alertness. Watch. Alertness is defined as the ability to anticipate right response to that which is taking place around me. How much awareness do we have concerning this matter of world evangelism? We need to pray intelligently. Only as I become aware of the needs around me can I pray intelligently. I pray with intelligence. I know what's going on. There's some suggestions. There's different things you can use. I've used for years this book from time to time called Operation World. This guy puts this book together. It's kind of a compilation of what's going on in the world from an evangelical point of view. Now, I always take his numbers and narrow them way down when you get down to Independent Fundamental Baptist works in the world. But it's a good resource to know what's going on in the world. And so you read about a country there and you think, wow, I didn't know that about that country. And you can pray intelligently. You know, how else I pray intelligently is when I see something happen in the world, I pray for missionaries and God's people. And earthquake in Haiti, what do I do? We should pray for God's people down in that area and pray that the works of God, the missionaries down there will have God's power to continue to work. You know, suffering is used of God in many places to bring people to the Lord. Or it could turn their hearts hard against the Lord. So if God's people there with answers, you see, so something happens. You hear something on the news or see something. We need to pray intelligently. God used people. Listen. You know, South Sudan, there was always something going on in South Sudan that we didn't know about. You know, we would, from time to time, come back and get email, find internet. We didn't have internet often, but when we did get it, people would say, oh, brother, we've been praying for you because of all the violence and the war going on over there. And we're like, where? You know, and it was going on, but it wasn't going on around us. Let me just put your mind at ease, parents. It's safe where Ben's going. Because he's right in the middle of God's will, huh? I mean, when God called me, man, there was a lot of shootings going on every day in Shreveport, Louisiana, and I was safer in Southern Sudan in the will of God than making a wrong turn out of the will of God in Shreveport, okay? So what I'm saying is it's safe in the will of God. But you see things going on, you say, okay, we got a missionary there. What are we going to call him home? No, pray for him. Pray for him intelligently. God, keep him from the enemy. Keep him from, you know, the devil wants... Wants the Smiths and the Deals to come home. They're not even there yet. But he wants them home. He wants them back here. They can be used here. We know that. But God's called them to be there. We need to pray for them. And when you see something happening in the world, pray specifically for that. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to pray more intelligently. And then number three, pray patiently. Pray patiently. Romans chapter 12. This is probably one of the hardest things. As we Americans, we like things now. We like things fast. We're a drive-through culture. We don't want to wait on, you know, even the microwave to heat up a dinner or something. You know, we want it now. But in prayer, waiting is involved. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Psalm 37, the other verses there listed, talking about waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. One of the main reasons so many prayers go unanswered is that too many focus, I think, on the answer rather than on God. Rather than on God changing you in the midst of prayer. How many have ever started praying for something and in the midst of that prayer, God changed you and then He changed the request. And then when the prayer was answered, everybody's happy. But it took time. You had to pray. And God's working. God's doing a work. And only as I become aware of the needs around me, you know, and what God's doing, God may take that prayer that I'm praying and over time, me waiting, and continuing to pray, He's changing. Aren't you glad God didn't answer some of your prayers immediately? You know, I've driven by pieces of property and said, God, I'd really love you to give us that property. Boy, and then they build something right next to that piece of property that I wouldn't want a church to be there. You know, Thank you, Lord, for not. You know, God knows so much more than we do, right? You know, isn't that good? But we pray patiently. I got a book here that I want to share a little something out of. This is called Mountain Rain. I give one to Ben. I'm going to order one for the pastor. This is a missionary biography by James Frazier. James Frazier, in the early 1900s, worked among the Lisu people in northern China. And this book he wrote mostly was letters that he wrote back to his supporting church. And I've never read a book that ties the sending church to the missionary as much as this book does. And it's really, really good. But this is one of his letters he wrote back, and he said, I quoted it there on your sheet, he says, he felt as if God was saying, you're crying to me to do a big work among the Lisu. I'm wanting to do a big work in you yourself. He said this also about prayer, one of his letters. He said, the aim of satanic power is to cut off communication with God. To accomplish this, he deludes the soul with a sense of defeat, covers him with a thick cloud of darkness, depresses and oppresses the spirit, which in turn hinders prayer and leads to unbelief, thus destroying all power, instead of having all faith. You know, I'm not a depressed person. I'm a happy kind of person. We got depressed sometimes on the mission field. You get depressed because of the oppression that's all around you. The work is that you're victorious in Christ, but it's just heavy sometimes. And only God can lift you out of that. He goes on to say, any position you've really taken with God's help may be retaken at once by faith after a temporary lapse. In other words, waiting on the Lord. You've got to wait on the Lord. Keep praying. Then he says, it's one of the most subtle wiles of the foe to get us occupied with superficial and surface concerns. In his case, it was book selling, language study, running mission stations, report writing, correspondence, account keeping, building things, buying things. The enemy's delighted to have us so occupied incessantly with secondary and trivial concerns as to keep us from attacking and resisting the true spirit of the conflict, which is prayer. And so there's a lot to do on the mission field, but the missionary needs to be a man of prayer. The wife needs to be a woman of prayer. The kids are going to be praying, but we need to be praying and holding them up. Pray intelligently. Pray patiently. Wait on God. Continue to pray. Continue to pray. And I'm telling you, there was times when I knew somebody was praying for me. Because we were in situations to where it was just like I didn't know what to do. And I was praying, but I knew somebody else was praying. And when these missionaries have a church like this, sending them out, that's a valuable thing. But I just challenge you to pray and pray patiently. And then pray intensely. Pray intensely. There's some Old Testament scriptures there. Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. This will be it. I'll give you the other answer because some of you are type A and you won't sleep if you don't get all the answers filled in. So pray intensely. James says in chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual fervent. That is intense prayer. Be intense. How do you do that? Well, you need to be rested when you pray. That's one thing. You know, I like praying early in the morning after I've slept a good night. It's hard to pray. You know, you say, I'll just cover this prayer list as I lay down. No, it's going to happen. I'm telling you. I try to pray for all of our missionaries on Saturday night because a lot of them are entering into their Sundays, right, when we're going to bed. And I'll lay there sometimes and I'm like, I have to confess to the Lord the next morning. I didn't make it to two or three of them. But don't pray laying down. It's not a good idea. Unless you're flat on your face before God, that's probably good. Follow a list of prayer. That helps you to stay intense. Rest periodically during your prayer. Take a break in your prayer time. If you're praying over a list, and it's okay for you to pause and get up and walk around, go to get a cup of coffee or something like that, continue talking to the Lord. The main thing is just praying intensely, praying fervently. And then lastly, pray faithfully. 1 Corinthians 4:2, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Just pray faithful. Don't tell somebody you're going to pray for them if you're not going to. Pray for them. And how I do it, the older I get, I have to write their name down. If I say, I'm going to pray for you, I say, wait a minute, what's your name? And I write it down so I can remember to pray for them. And be faithful to pray. Be faithful to pray. Don't take us from your prayer list. We need your prayers today. The devil's power is greatest when Christians cease to pray. Prayer brings us needed courage and shields us from the wrong. It builds a hedge around us, invisible and strong. Please keep us on your prayer list each time you offer prayer. Through it we sense the presence of our greatest burden bearer. Oh, what a blessed privilege each Christian can embrace of praying for each other till we see him face to face. That's a blessing we have to pray. God says the prayer of the upright is his delight. And that just is an awesome statement. That God is delighted with our prayer. And these missionaries need our prayers. This dying world needs our countries needs our prayer. You know, we need to be praying for our country fervently. Our country needs prayer. We need to pray. It's a great privilege we have.